Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
And Caratini in the air to deep left. Tilson will glove it. And the White Sox take game one. A comeback 3-1 win. Eloy Jimenez, former Cubs top prospect, hits the game-winning home run in the ninth. The Cubs will hope for a split tomorrow against Lucas Giolito. I guess the best news today, J.D., is Craig Kimbrell looked good as he's on his way back hopefully will make his Cub debut within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and next time Chuck Garfine gives Jimenez a ride to the ballpark, we're going to ask him to take a wrong turn somewhere.
Middays on the Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. Looking forward to having a conversation with Leila Rahimi of NBC Sports Chicago, and we can do so right now as she joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Leila, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? Just enjoying
Wonderful.
The first game of the series.
Yeah, quite a finish for the Cubs and the Sox, really. Hopefully more drama on tap for tonight. But that was, I don't know where you rank the Eloy Jimenez homer in this, you know, whole Cubs-Sox series, but we were talking about it earlier, and it's for all of the reasons, you know, baseball reasons, storyline reasons, narrative, meatball stuff. It's got to be one of the top ones, if not very much the top.
Yeah, call me nostalgic, but I still enjoy the punch between Michael Barrett and A.J. Pierzynski. Is that bad? And the Giovanni Soto's face mask. Like, if you grew up outside of Chicago, you always knew Crosstown meant some sort of interesting altercation. No, if you're coming from a baseball standpoint, yeah, it was clutch, right? And given the storyline behind it, it was everything you wanted to see. Jimenez was excited about being at Wrigley. He had been there once before when he was the Cubs minor league player of the year. And as he told our Chuck Garfine in the card, I guess Chuck has to do that again today now, is that it did mean something to him. It was a dramatic storytelling when he said he got traded from one side of town to the other. So if you're going by storylines and a clutch moment at the right time, that's up there, isn't it?
Well, what's great about him, too, it's clear that he's got some extra sizzle about him. At a time when we want baseball to be more fun and more people are more open to expressiveness in the game, it's fun to root for a guy like that who knows he's good and isn't afraid to show it a little bit, even at his young age, the way he carries himself. I was mentioning earlier in the show today, the fact that his batting stance is unique, something that kids can impersonate when they're screwing around on the playground. I think the whole package with Eloy is really intriguing.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And he doesn't take himself seriously, as we've seen. And he has fun with both his strengths and his weaknesses. One of my favorite moments so far watching him play was in left field in the game in Houston where Lucas Giolito threw a complete game and he made this ridiculous sliding catch to end the eighth inning. And there's no reason he had to do that. It's 3:15 down the left field line at Minute Maid Park. Simple for a left fielder. But he makes this ridiculous sliding grab and then, like he's a gymnast finishing the vault, he sticks the landing and throws his hands up in the air. And that's hilarious to me. And that doesn't even get talked about as much because of all his antics, either with the microphone and Chuck, or obviously what he's doing at the plate with his bat.
Giolito's been fantastic all season long for the White Sox. It's been the realization of talent that a number of different franchises have seen in him. I wonder what's been the most impressive thing or standout thing from his season so far to you, Leila.
I think sometimes we all have a tendency to simplify baseball to the point where we don't understand how difficult it is to make minute changes. And to make a wholesale change, like Giolito made in his delivery, where it's much more efficient now. And it keeps him on balance on the mound and has resulted in this night and day difference is monumental. Nobody understands, I can't possibly fathom how much of a difference that's made. We talk about guys making changes in their batting swings all the time. We talk about the tiniest little things. Think about what he's done in his delivery and how it's paid off. He also, from the mental side, went through it. This is a guy who was marketed at one point as the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball. And then to have that fall from grace like he had, where he finally gets the opportunity with the White Sox to go out and be a starter, and it results the way it does. And then for him to say, this isn't working, I'm going to change everything I'm doing, and to have it pay off the way it has is insane to me. To have that process totally be different and then to have it pay off the way he has and not think about the mental side when he's in those late innings to finish and do what he's been doing against some of the best teams in baseball, I just think it's tremendous. The changeup is obviously the biggest thing, but it's not just the changeup. Working with James McCann is also huge. And then because of that changeup, he's now mixing his pitches, and the way he throws them is more efficient. And then the fastball got better. It's just fascinating to me. I'm going to be breaking it down for a long time, just understanding what he did to get so good so quickly and so obviously.
So much of what he's done is now informed by having read The MVP Machine, the book that is chronicling these massive changes to how we understand baseball. And the fact that he just ditched his sinker completely. He just doesn't throw it anymore because it's a bad pitch. I was reading about Justin Verlander when he got to the Astros. So many of the Astros pitchers, Garrett Cole, when he was recruited by the Astros, when all of these people with all of this tracking data said, here's what you do well, here's what you don't do well. And when smart, thoughtful, self-aware guys like Lucas Giolito find success, it's yet another way that we're destigmatizing nerdism in baseball. That smart guys who do this for a living crave this now. They want this now. It doesn't have to be technical. It doesn't have to be presented to them impossibly. It's simply somebody saying, do more of this, do less of this. And it's amazing what the results could be as quickly.
Yeah, it's also very, very difficult to actually execute. And because you're talking about talents like Giolito, Garrett Cole, and Justin Verlander, they've made it pretty easy. I was in Houston when Dallas Keuchel really started to turn the corner, and they said to him, stop throwing your curveball. And that's when everything worked for him, and his slider became such an efficient pitch for him. And he threw a one seam, if that makes any sense, or we called it like the seamless. And that's really what turned things around for him, and then he ends up winning the Cy Young in 2015. Houston's known for that. Brent Strom, their pitching coach, is just absolutely fabulous. And then on the Cubs side, one of the biggest examples of embracing analytics is, of course, Kyle Hendricks. And we can't say enough about how he throws. The only comparison there these days is Maddux. It's amazing to watch.
Are you at all? We were pretty surprised that Adbert Alzolay wasn't going to get a call here on Thursday to start in lieu of Hendricks, with him being on the DL, shoulder impingement being the issue. Do you figure that they will be as calm as possible in the rotation, knowing that they've got other needs as we approach the deadline? Or do you sense any amount of urgency here at this point?
Well, there's some scuttlebutt saying that in addition to the Kimbrel move, there will be another one made. I think we all have to be on watch, because now that the waiver trade deadline is gone, this trade deadline is going to be crazy. So the Cubs getting Kimbrel acknowledges that they still are in it to win it. They think the window is still open. So it's safe to say that you'd think that some other move is going to be made, right? That just makes sense. But it comes down to the prospect capital, and as we've seen, the monetary capital to try to figure that out. Is adding Kimbrel enough? I tend to think it should be, right? Especially if the Brewers aren't going to add anything. But I wonder if there's going to be any reactionary moves made. And then if so, might that force somebody's hand?
Layla Rahimi, our guest on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You can follow her on Twitter at Layla Rahimi. She of NBC Sports Chicago. Take us behind the scenes a little bit. When you have your production meetings for the Wintrust Crosstown series, how much do you understand that you've got to kind of play the hits when it comes to finding the married couple that's a Sox fan and a Cub fan, or the best friend sitting next to each other in different jerseys? How much do you think that the audience your audience craves that kind of stuff, and how much is just sort of perfunctory box checking?
Well, maybe I'm a decent example in that I cover both teams. So there are people who embrace both sides of baseball in this town. It's a story, and our job is to tell the story. And it's not just about what's happening on the field. It's about what's happening with the fans. We have the Authentic Fan Campaign, and that is authentic. There are people who are Cubs fans and Sox fans, and who live together, and they hang out together. We always show them sitting together, because that's what it is. That's the best way to explain the Crosstown series, is to put a Sox jersey next to a Cubs jersey and show it on TV. And you talk about playing the hits. Of course we're going to show Ozzie kicking Giovanni Soto's face mask. And of course we're going to show Michael Barrett and AJ. And of course we're going to try to get to the random stuff too, like when David DeJesus collided with Gordon Beckham at second. Because people want to see that. They want to see the fireworks. Ozzie Guillen's always pumped up for Crosstown. It's something that he certainly enjoys. I know you guys know that. And we also listen to our fans. And they always say don't read the comments, but I do, because you want to hear what they're pumped up about. So when the Sox fans are excited for Crosstown and the Cubs fans want to see what's going on, and there is the buzz like there has been at Wrigley and in this town over the last couple of days, you want to represent it properly. And if that's the story to be told, then we're going to tell it.
How much did everybody at NBC Sports Chicago know about Chuck Garfine driving Eloy Jimenez to the ballpark in that segment? Like, I assume Sarah and Goff knew that it was going to happen, and Chuck probably was planning the whole thing for months. But how much did you know this was going to be a thing, and how much planning did it seem like went into it?
So I come from the world of assignment football, where you have your guy, and that's the guy you're on, and you tackle him when it's necessary. I did not know about it. I kind of joke that Sarah and Guff, Ryan McGuffey, our producer, are like the special ops unit. They work in mysterious ways sometimes in the dark, and they unveil their amazing product once it's ready to be seen by the world. So I had found out about it when we were getting ready for the show that day. And we were working on it and trying to turn the video and get it ready for TV. So it was definitely a special ops unit project. And once we found out about it, we had to move quickly to get it onto TV. I make it sound like it's so insane and difficult, but sometimes it is.
Well, I mean, with Sarah and Guff, you could do anything. I figured Chuck would spill the beans as soon as it happened. You know, I mean, like, I figured he would be calling in and let everybody know that, yeah, we booked this, it's happening. Because Chuck's he loves his job.
He really does. Did you see the picture of Chuck with Aloy, and he's driving him? And it reminds me of the picture I accidentally took of Shep looking lovingly at Javi Baez from Cubs convention. And part two is absolutely Chuck looking at Aloy Jimenez. And I'm like, get you a man who looks at you the way Chuck looks at Aloy Jimenez.
You could do a whole photographic series here and put it in a
really
gallery
good
somewhere. I love it. Layla Rahimi, great stuff. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Happy Crosstown, guys. I'll see you later.
You too. That is Layla Rahimi, brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running with live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Start your weekend right. Leave work early Friday for the Miller Lite Party in the Park with live music, food, and $3 drink specials. Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. There's a bunch of challenges laid down here. You're making me play Jay Zawoski and bubble hockey for leftovers.
I'm not making you play. Good Lord, Jay. I've never seen him get up that fast.
I know.
He's
yeah.
very angry now. We've got a lot to do. Here's what's coming up in the next hour of the show. We've got to do the bubble hockey thing. I'm making you do the bubble hockey thing. Get over it. You're doing the bubble hockey thing.
He's going to clobber me.
He's going to kill you. It's not going to be close. Chris Dickens and Mike Chan are on their way in on some train somewhere to chug beer against you.
Some train somewhere.
I don't listen.
Like
I don't know.
Transcontinental Railway?
It looks, honestly, did you see it the looks late like entrant a murder in this? Did you see Herbs?
Yeah, I saw Herbs.
What?
That's I've Herb seen
could
Herb
take
do
all
that
of you
before.
Well, I'm
no,
sure
it's,
he could. I was just responding to what I saw from Chen.
It's terrifying. Herb's got some talent in that department, so we've got that to do. We also have a lawn that we have been asked to remove ourselves from.
Yes, we
from,
have to leave, I guess.
And I'm going to laugh at that. We've also, the MLB Pipeline has a new top 100, and I was amazed with just how high a prospect here in town has reached on that list. So we got a bunch of things to do before we get out of here. That's all coming up. It's Bernstein and McKnight live at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern for the Crosstown Cup here on The Score.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the number 17 Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. We're Bernstein and McKnight, and we are at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern. They have a Fruity Pebbles donut.
Yeah.
That I have not seen.
Pretty
before.
Good. That one's pretty good. There's the one with the jelly that you inject into the peanut butter donut so as to make your own peanut butter and jelly donut. That's getting a thumbs up from the promotions
that
theme
looks
there.
A little like a blood draw.
Does it not? Yeah, I guess. You probably eat it anyway. There's like breakfast cereals on all kinds of donuts. But more importantly, Dan, this is now the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern.
Yes.
Is now the site of an upset.
What?
One of the most historic upsets in bubble hockey history. I don't want to give anything away. But leftovers for today? You're gonna want to tune in. I can't believe what I just saw.
Did Jay change goalies after the first period because he panicked?
I don't want to give away the results. I don't want to give away what happened. But this was incredible. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Small sample size, and I dominated in the Corsi game.
However, sometimes you get a hot goalie, and you can ride a hot goalie to victory.
True.
There were any number of breakaway stoppages there, and my recent experience with goaltending instruction, I have seen the butterfly taught, I have watched the pro hybrid training methods, and clearly what I now understand by VH, reverse VH, the angle of the stick and understanding sight lines, being able to tell your defenders to get out of the way, my goaltender was outstanding. That's a goalie win.
Did Dan just take the fun out of upsets?
Bubble hockey, I think. As he said, he's gunning for upsets later. Bubble hockey is gone now. Lots to get to here before we get to Lawrence.
Yeah, we need to get off a lawn.
Here and hanging out. Yeah, this is some pretty incredible stuff.
It's hilarious.
I'll tweet the video in case you've missed it. But Padres third baseman Manny Machado and Bill Welke, the home plate umpire, got into it after Machado was called out on a strike three. It was 97. It was on the black, a little bit off, probably could have gone either way. Machado was incensed and got all up in Welke's face. I mean, it's an argument. I mean, it is an argument. There was contact made by Machado to Welke. Nothing like just, you know, kind of your bump into contact kind of thing. And then what Machado did was take the bat and just, on his way off after the argument, after he's had 20, 25 seconds of argument, and just whipped the thing into the backstop. Just really gave it a good toss.
It was a bad look.
It was. It's not a good look. He's received a one-game suspension for contact with an umpire over balls and strikes.
And the contact was not obvious.
No, it was just kind of, you know, in the course of bumping and moving around. It wasn't like shoving or throwing or anything. But the MLB...
It was like Antonio Alfonseca. Remember when he ran out on the wet grass and slid into... Remember that?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like that.
Big old belly bump.
No, it wasn't even Jorge Soler coming out after somebody in a minor league game. Or Delman Young chucking a bat at an umpire in a minor league game. Not that. But the Major League Baseball Umpires Association says it's their lawn, and we got to get the hell off.
Read the tweet.
Manny Machado received a one-game suspension for contact with an umpire over balls and strikes and violently throwing his bat against the backstop.
All caps for violently.
Absolutely no regard to anyone's safety. Violence in the workplace.
In the workplace!
It's not tolerated.
Violence in the... They're comparing this to actual workplace violence.
And offenders are dealt with severely and even made examples for the good of its employees as well as the company itself. Is this truly what MLB wants to teach our youth?
Wait, that's not the best part. The best part is the string of hashtags and tags.
Let me read them to you. Hashtag disappointed. Hashtag lead by example. Hashtag not appreciated. Hashtag violence. Hashtag temper tantrum. Hashtag in action. Hashtag not tolerated. Hashtag make an example of. Hashtag one game suspension. Hashtag repeat offender. Hashtag nonsense. Hashtag MLB UA.
And then, at MLB, at Padres, and at Buster underscore ESPN.
What umpire's dad runs this Twitter account? This is the worst. This is pure and utter nonsense. And it's got actual implications with players. Who is the... It was Alex Wood.
I've got
you
it right here.
Earlier.
Alex
this
Wood.
Is, first off, this is pure, pure nonsense. This is like Hawk Harrelson going after Wagner nonsense. This is like righteous indignation. This is bull from umpires.
Alex Wood of the Cincinnati Reds tweets, I don't understand how this tweet is permitted by the Umpires Union or MLB. There's a reason players don't take to social media on a daily basis to bash umpires or call them out. It's because it is simply not allowed. And if a guy does it, he gets fined.
You get fined.
Do you know how many? There would be a whole thread, maybe a whole social medium devoted just to Angel Hernandez. And it simply complaints about Angel Hernandez.
C.B. Buckner would get his ass worn out. I mean, there are a couple of umpires that are just bad. We've talked about it a couple of times here, and I am convinced after having worked around baseball for, you know, a little while and talking to some people, it's no great shakes, but I was there for a bit. I think you could reduce, not maybe it's not the most pressing need in baseball, but you could reduce the pressure point between players and umpires 1,000-fold if you just made somehow, in some small way, umpires a little accountable for their performance. Not even being a jerk. Not even doing, like, if you've got, you know, confrontations back and forth and yelling, and you want, you know, A.J. Hinch is yelling at Culpa for just looking into his dugout, and then you get that whole thing started. It's just nonsense. If you had strike zone accountability.
Don't look at me like that, Shane. Somebody's got to channel Terry every once in a while.
Everyone has made the Mea Culpa joke. If you just had some sort of accountability, like, this guy's, you know, called strike rate via, it's not good enough. You would decrease the tension between players and umpires like 1,000-fold if players knew in the back of their heads that this guy was going to miss a game or two, that this guy was going to get sent down, and I know there are union issues involved. I get it. It's not going to happen at the snap of fingers. But my God, it's been something sitting under baseball surface for a while. And it's pure nonsense. It's got to be dealt with better. You could get better games out of it.
I mean, the whole thing about workplace, the brushing of an umpire in an argument is being compared to somebody that shoots up an office park? Are you kidding me?
It's absolutely nonsense.
It's ridiculous. And actually, yep. An MLB has distanced themselves from this. And
they ought to. It's a nonsense tweet.
Yeah, you don't do something like that as a union. I mean, it makes them look as thin-skinned as they actually are. All it does is confirm that when they have to come out with something like
this. Who's backing the Fraternal Order of Umpires, by the way? Like, who are they? Who's their base? What are they tweeting out to? Like, no, I know who's going to have our back on this one. No one. No one's going to have your back on this. You're acting like jerks. Meanwhile, MLB Pipeline, their prospect ranking system, Jonathan Mayo runs it. Jim Callis, a big part of this, too. They've come out with their midseason top 100. Do you know who number 5 on this list is?
Number 5 overall. You know,
I can give you the 1, 2, 3, and 4 if it'll help center you just a
little
bit.
This year was a huge change because of Tatis and Vlad Jr. and Aloy coming up, Nick Senzel and some of these guys arriving in the big leagues. This is a next crop with which I'm not as familiar.
Number 1, Wander Franco. He's the shortstop prospect for the Tampa Bay Rays. Casey Mize for the Tigers has been striking out everybody, and I think he's back to healthy now or bouncing around. Mackenzie Gore with the Padres because they need another good prospect coming up. Joe Adell, who the Angels are enamored with despite an ankle injury to start the season, is 4. Number 5, Luis Robber of the Chicago White Sox. After just a handful of seasons playing in the minor leagues, he has been absolutely incredible at double. He's there with all kinds of scouting reports surrounding his defensive ability, the speed, the power, the bat to ball.
The lack of a shirt. Is he going to petition baseball to play shirtless?
If you were shaped like that, would you ever wear a shirt?
Right.
The guy could do his laundry on his abs. There's no reason to wear shirts.
I remember there was a director's commentary for the movie Pitch Perfect that I was watching, and there's this scene where that one guy is working at the college radio station where the one guy shows off his abs.
Nah, I think I'm okay.
Elizabeth Banks says something in the commentary, and she said, I wanted to keep reshooting the scene, so the guy had to keep lifting up his shirt.
Yep.
And she said, it also made me think that when I was 25, I should have been wearing a bikini everywhere every day while I could.
Why wouldn't? Right? Come on. I mean, if you got it, flaunt it, right?
That's how Luis Robert thinks. He's got the chains and everything.
Elsewhere on this list is Nico Horner, the Cubs shortstop prospect at 53.
Where's Edbert?
He's apparently, Horner coming back from a wrist injury at some point. I think he had I get it. You know, I'm with him. He had the fractured wrist kind of thing. You got to scroll a lot of the way down to try and find the next Cub prospect. It's Miguel Amaya at 77. He's the catcher who's been making moves. Young prospect. He is, 20 and just a couple of weeks ago turned 20. But that's it for Cubs on this list in the new midseason top 100, according to MLB Pipeline. But Alzolay, like we talked about with Alex Cohen, who calls games for the Iowa Cubs, really impressive stuff of late. It's really kind of a bounce back kind of thing, and he's a top five arm in the organization, if not the best for sure.
Yeah, my takeaway actually, I know we didn't talk a lot, because we went right into the midway. When I asked Alex Cohen about the involvement of the front office in the minor leagues, that's a thing everywhere in baseball right now. That is the integration of organizations with the technology. He said the difference between this year and last year, now that they've got Pitch Lab available, now that they have Edgertronic, now that they've invested all this money, you have to apply it everywhere in the organization, because you never know where along the line something is going to be discovered that turns a mule into a horse or a horse into a thoroughbred.
Or click. There's no prospect really worth giving up on at this point. It's kind of cool to see the reinvigorated importance of each and every guy in the minors. It's been so long. Like you've said, everybody in the minor leagues, 99% of them, exist so that someone can pitch to your top prospect.
They're fodder.
That's it.
And most prospects fail.
Oh, absolutely. And they still will. But even now, think about it this way, too. What if you've got your middle, if you've got a Kyle Ryan somewhere in the minor leagues that just, even if he comes up and gives you 4 months of really good work out of the bullpen before he turns back into a pumpkin, those are, 40 innings that you didn't have from other places just because you did that extra session in front of the camera, just because you had that extra former player talking with that guy about his release point, and maybe this time finding the language that the player related to best and made his change to get to the bigs.
When we come back, we need a ruling from the men behind the I'm Fat podcast, because a fast food restaurant has decided to create a special promotion regarding somebody who is going to be taken in tomorrow night's NBA draft. And this is one of these sort of yes or no creative ideas for a fast food option that is draft related. So we'll get their take on
it. If it involves quantity, I bet they're in. Lawrence Holmes is coming up as well to do transition. It's Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
It'll be a 2-2. And Kittredge deals, swung on and drilled to deep right center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Eddie Encarnacion's first home run as a Yankee. Una celebración for Edwin Encarnacion.
And his first walking the parrot as a Yankee. And Luke Voit's out there walking the parrot in the dugout. He's got his arm up. You better work on that. It's going to be a 90-degree angle, Luke. So you can see what's going to happen in that dugout with the parrot with the elbow.
Oh, that's terrific. It really is.
That's Nana and Papa calling games.
So...
I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
Someday.
Like, it's just, I expect them to just have some kind of like, it's, this table's too cold.
Una celebración for Edwin Encarnacion.
Right under the fan. We couldn't get out from under the fan.
Right.
Someday, when we have the time, please remind me to tell you my Ed Farmer Yankees radio booth story. Please remind me to tell you this.
It's terrific. It really is.
It is. It's terrific. Although I didn't hate the celebración for Encarnacion. We got some chicken to talk about. what do we got?
I love it. It's so to people of a certain ethnic extraction. It really genuinely sounds like it's grandparents that are just, they happen to be a baseball game in front of them.
Love it.
Are we out of salt? So good. All right, yes or no for the I'm Fat podcast. This is a marketing move by Popeye's Chicken, and it is available it is available only tomorrow. This is from Darren Rovell's tweet at the Canal Street store in New Orleans. I have been to that Popeye's. I've been to the actual Popeye's Canal Street in New Orleans. It is called the Wingspan Box.
And it is in honor of a certain player whom they may or may not be selecting, who has a wingspan of 6 feet and 10 inches. The box is 6 feet 10 inches long. The box contains 77 boneless wings, 11 biscuits, and 11 servings of fries for $74.69.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, you got to get down on
Jay,
that.
So, Jay, you want to put in your $74, I'll put in mine, and we'll each have a meal?
Just have a contest. It sounds like a nice appetizer, actually.
Honest to God, do you think the two of you could take that down over X amount of time, right?
Well, the problem's the biscuit. 11 biscuits.
11 biscuits. That's where it gets
down. That's not enough.
Rick and I can knock out, what is it, 76 wings?
77.
See, my problem is boneless wings.
Easy.
I don't do boneless wings.
That's not a problem at all. We can do that in one sitting.
Okay, 77 boneless wings, 11 biscuits, 11 servings of fries. That is the wingspan box.
Sounds like they're in.
All right, sounds
like
they're
in. A terrific deal.
Isn't it?
That's a really good deal. Like, dollar wings are, that's a good deal on its own, let alone with all the biscuits, and I'm going. That's it.
He's headed
I'm
to
off
New
tomorrow.
Orleans. He's like, I'm going to see him on an Amtrak train headed down there.
Headed down. Real excited. Speaking of excited, Lawrence Holmes and Transition is on the way. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.